It's Monday, the 4th of April, 2016. Happy birthday to Frank Kaminsky. Basketball Monster Show brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and TNG Forever. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to sponsor the podcast like TNG Forever, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can be that sponsor for a day. Thank you to TNG Forever. Thank you to everyone who has done it this season. And of course, a big thank you to Moneyball. They are Australia's best daily fantasy sports site. So even though your season may have ended, DFS is still going. So head across to Moneyball if you're living in Australia or New Zealand. Check out what they've got on offer and maybe supplement your league winnings with some DFS cash as well. So make sure you are checking that out. I said that my name is Josh Lloyd, and if you are watching this podcast live on YouTube, you can tweet at me directly, redrock_bball, for some live interaction as the show is going to air. Use the hashtag RRFB as well, so I know that you are watching it and want the question answered in the show. And we'll get to it as best as we can. Majority of fantasy leagues are over. Hopefully, yours is over. I know that some of you will still be playing, and I can't implore this any more than what I already have. Do not play past this week. Yes, I'm still doing the podcast through to the end of the season. We're still going to be doing DFS stuff. The season-long stuff will still continue as well, but do not play past this point in the season. You saw it already this week. It's probably even too long, but you know, the Nets, Brook Lopez, Thad Young are not playing again this season. Injuries, DeMarcus Cousins are not playing in road games. Yeah, Lou Williams and Brandon Bass are going to be sitting out for the Lakers now. It's a complete mess. And I have no issue with the NBA and with the players sitting out games at this point in the season. There's 10 days left. No issue whatsoever for guys who, it makes absolutely no difference where they play. Keep your assets intact. And but that plays havoc with your fantasy league. So make sure that you do not play past this day. And again, I wouldn't even extend it into April. My seasons, I'd be ending it before the end of March, because that's the way you get the most representative value of players who are around. Injuries you can't help, but resting and stuff like that is not something that's a great thing to be playing for in fantasy. Just consider this like the week 17 of our fantasy football. These last 3 weeks of the NBA season, they don't represent what's happened in all the other weeks. So again, do not play this season. And I know that, and I didn't know this before, but on Yahoo, you can't change when the playoffs start, which is just ludicrous. You know that, well, you probably know that I'm a much bigger proponent of ESPN leagues than Yahoo, because it just provides so much more flexibility. You can have a games limit per week. You can't do that on Yahoo. You can have 2 weeks per playoffs if you want. You can have 1 week if you want. Can't do that on Yahoo. You can change the playoffs to start wherever you want. Can't do that on Yahoo. And I know people will grumble about the app, but I will take flexibility, and I will take the ability to change these things, which in the end have a real impact on fantasy leagues, especially with this playoff mess, over a shinier looking app. Doesn't faze me whatsoever. So I'm in one Yahoo league this year, and the rest of mine, aside from dynasties, are all on ESPN. And it's because of this flexibility that allows us to do so much more with that sort of stuff. And hopefully ESPN's going to be improving their product as well. I've been speaking to them throughout the season about things that they could potentially be adding, and hopefully we're going to get that happening. I've been talking too long, and Michael Bolton hasn't even spoken. What's wrong with me?
Let's get to it.
Oh, Mick, thank you. Almost made a big blue then. Now, there's no games tomorrow, so we're not doing a DFS segment today. Hopefully a shorter show, but with 11 games on, it probably won't be. But what we will do before we get into the awards of the night and the game review, the listener leagues are all over. The Red Rock listener, that's not true, sorry. The Roto League is still going, and the non-traditional category league is still going. I'm not sure why that one's still going. I must have stuffed up the settings there. But the Roto League's still going. But the 12 listener leagues are finished, so we have the winners of those leagues. And as I mentioned, the winners of those leagues will be going into the Champions League for next season. So let's go through each of these leagues. The LaFonso Ellis division of the Red Rock Listener League, the winner was Darren Church. So congratulations to Darren. The Cedric Sabalos Listener League, Joey Mamone. So congratulations to Joey. The Mark Eaton division, Juan Meza. Congratulations. The Sleepy Floyd division, Corey Van Het Wilt. the Kendall Gill division, Xavier Guino, the Hersey Hawkins division, Simon Smith, the Mike Uzzolino division, Vivek Patel, the Christian Leitner division, Peter Spreadbury, the Sarunas Marcellonis division, Greg Buckman, the Harold Miner division, Benjamin Bade, the Stacey Augman division, Joe Buck, and the Clarence Weatherspoon division, Lisa Jacobson. So congratulations to you 12 guys. You will all be in the Champions League next season alongside myself, and Matt Smith will make it a 14-team league. And as something, as I said, when we were starting off these listener leagues to start the season, you guys that won, you can come on the podcast, and we'll try and work that out. Timing might be difficult for some of it. Come on and have a bit of a chat for a few minutes and talk about whatever stuff you really want to talk about. So we'll get you 12 guys onto the podcast in the coming weeks. Send me an email. I'll send you guys an email as well. We'll work out timings and that. But Darren, Joey, Juan, Corey, Xavier, Simon, Vivek, Peter, Greg, Benjamin, Joe, and Lisa, you've got a spot on the podcast if you want. Hey, some of you might not want to come on, but if you want to come on, you've got a spot coming up in the next couple of weeks. We're going to have a bit of a chat on air. So congratulations to all of you guys for winning the leagues and putting yourself up against each other for next season in the Champions League. It's going to be a really interesting sort of competition with you guys. So looking forward to it, and well done for everyone on the season, and well done to all of you listening who happened to win your leagues this year. I had lots of people tweeting at me that had a big DFS day today as well, which is great. But congratulations to everyone who did well, collected some money, got some pride, got a trophy, whatever it is in your league. Well done. The monstrous line of the night. On the day that is the last day of the fantasy season for majority of people, it feels fitting that the monstrous line of the night goes to Steph Curry, the man who has won more monstrous lines of the night this season than anyone. He bounced back from that loss against the Celtics. He played 35 minutes. He had 39 points. He had 9 triples, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, and as usual, a super efficient 13 of 21 from the field. He hit all 4 of his free throws. Steph Curry is legitimately just absolutely dominating this year. And I actually should probably go look through the listener leagues. How many of you guys own Steph Curry that won the leagues? Yeah, just a superb season from Steph. He is legit shooting 51% from the field as a point guard, which is ridiculous. He's not going to go at 50-40-90 season. He's at a 50-45-90 season, which is ludicrous. We know his numbers: 30 points, 5 threes, 5.5 rebounds, 6.5 assists, 2 steals. Just putting up, and 90% from the free throw line as well, putting up just ridiculous numbers. Steph is your monstrous line of the night yet again. The waiver wire line of the night, we're going with another point guard, and we're looking at the New Orleans Pelicans and Tim Frazier, who played 37 minutes off the bench and had 19 points, 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 13 assists, and 3 steals in a very Steph Curry-like 7 of 11 shooting night. Frazier should be owned in basically every league. We talked about him yesterday. He is a top 100 player over the... He's a top 60 player over the last month. He's averaging 13.5, 4 and 6, a 3, 1.2 steals on 52% shooting. That's a massive increase. Last year, he was at 34%. He was at 48% from the free throw line. He's taken his percentages up a lot higher. He's shooting 53% from 3 over the last month, which is ludicrous as well. But it's mainly his assists, his steals, his ability to score a little bit as well. And he's going to play a lot of minutes. I don't think we're seeing Norris Cole again for the Pelicans this year. Frazier may come off the bench, but that doesn't really matter. He's been the best guy in terms of those guards between him and Tony Douglas for the last few weeks. Regardless, even if he plays 27 minutes, he's still a productive player. He should be owned everywhere if your league is continuing. The young gun of the night. As I mentioned with Steph Curry, it was fitting that he was the monstrous line of the night with the last day of the fantasy season. Same goes for this bloke in the young gun of the night. He has won it more times than anyone has won it, more times than anyone won it last year, more times than anyone won it the year before, I'm pretty sure. Carl Anthony Towns played 44 minutes in the Timberwolves' loss to the Mavericks. He only scored 11 points, but he grabbed 21 rebounds and had 9 assists, perilously close to his first career triple-double. He also had a steal. He had 3 blocks, and it was actually a little bit disappointing, 5 of 13 from the field. But Towns has been fantastic, and he will get triple-doubles. He is a fantastic passer. In fact, over the last 2 weeks, he is averaging 3.5 assists a game. He's only at 1.9 for the season, but 3.5 is not a ridiculous total for him to average. He could average that next season, I've got no doubt. If he gets some better teammates around him, and teammates who improve, he can pass the ball fantastically. He can be a legit 25-12 guy as a triple one and four assists, plus make it 2.5 blocks on 50 and 80. He could easily be that guy. You know how much I love him. He's been absolutely incredible this season, way better than anyone could have possibly predicted. He will be a first-round draft choice next year. If you get him in the second round, I will be shocked. He has been absolutely tremendous, and his ceiling just appears to be almost limitless at this point. So Karl-Anthony Towns, your young gun of the night. The dud of the night, again, somewhat fitting that a big man in Boston gets the dud of the night. Jared Sullinger played just 17 minutes, 6 points, 2 rebounds, nothing else. And I say it's fitting because Brad Stevens has been stuffing around with the minutes of these guys ever since he took over in Boston. This is nothing against Brad Stevens as a coach, because what he does works, but for fantasy, it is just a gigantic pain in the ass. When everyone is healthy, you don't know what is going to happen from game to game. You've got no idea. And Sullinger, he wasn't terrible, but Stevens just go, and it's what happens when you've got so many players there. You know, there's Johnson, there's Sullinger, there's Olynyk, there's Zeller, there's Jurepko. Earlier in the season, you had David Lee there as well. Six guys who you could legitimately think could start on a slightly below average front court. And that's, you know, Sullinger's been worth owning basically all season. Recently, since the return of Kelly Olynyk and Amir Johnson getting back into favour, his minutes have dropped, and this is not probably the least opportune time for him to do that. And over the last 2 weeks, he's ranked 190th, so he has dropped off significantly, Sullinger. So by no means a must-own guy, just not getting enough minutes to... At the start, he was only playing 24 minutes and, you know, a comfortable top 80 player, but that has dropped off with the return of Olynyk. His shot hasn't fallen as much. His minutes have been a little bit reduced as well. So just not a good way to end the season for Jared Sullinger. Going to be real interested to do the Boston Celtics season in review when talking about these guys, because I've got a few thoughts on a few players there when we talk about that, but we'll get into that at a later date. Let's have a look at the perfect DFS lineup from Sunday's games. That is not the right one. Oh, where did it go? Let's try again. This is going to be better. No, oh, it's gone. Lost it. Anyway, let me bring it up. I've got it saved somewhere. Oh, that's really frustrating. Let's have a look. I know that Isaiah Cannon was in it. Won't have it on the screen for you guys, so let's okay, here we go. Point guard Tim Frazier had 46.9 and Steph had 58.7. We've talked about both those guys already. At shooting guard, a couple of real punt options there. J.R. Smith at 38.5 and Kobe Bryant went for 46.3. Things that you could have put into tournaments, and literally no reliability there in cash, but they're huge games. You couldn't really predict that they'd go that big. Small forwards, Giannis at 53.5 and Jay Crowder put up 42. Power forwards with Kyrie Irving out, Kevin Love was in a good spot and he delivered 40.8 and Draymond went for 58, and the centers, well, only one center, Tyson Chandler put up 43.6, and that would have given you 428.3 points, which I imagine you would have been pretty happy about. Right, now it's time for a word from our sponsor for today's show, and that is SeatGeek. Have you ever been frustrated trying to buy your tickets online? Most sites make it complicated. They all try to sneak in huge fees at checkout. That's why SeatGeek is the best in the business. They've made it easier than ever to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. It's the best place to go to look up tickets for all your NBA games towards the end of the season, playoff tickets, anything, not even NBA, any sporting, Stanley Cup tickets. Baseball tickets has just started. Baseball's just started. Go find your baseball tickets on there as well. Concerts, musicals, any sort of thing on SeatGeek. It's taken all the work and hassle out of shopping for tickets. They pull all of the tickets available on other sites into one place, so you save time, you never miss a deal. You can even set alerts for upcoming events, and SeatGeek will let you know if ticket prices fall. Even better, every ticket on SeatGeek is ranked based on value, so you can immediately find underpriced seats. Before you buy, use SeatGeek's detailed maps to see the view from your seat. And best of all, SeatGeek is always honest and upfront about the price. Unlike StubHub, they show you the full ticket price from start to finish and never try to trick you with huge fees on the checkout page. My listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, you download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code REDROCK, one word. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code REDROCK today. Why don't you? It's a pretty good idea, I reckon. Helps the podcast out, helps yourself out. It is a win-win situation. So thanks to SeatGeek for being a sponsor of the podcast for the last couple of months and all your support that that goes into it. And it shows those guys and keeps them wanting to stick around as sponsors. And SeatGeek extended their sponsorship through to the end of the season. So we do thank them quite a lot. And thank you to you guys for that also. Let's get into these games and have a look at the 11 games in a little bit of detail. We'll bring that up on the screen for you guys watching along. Remember, we're not doing any DFS preview today because there is no DFS, well, there's no games on Monday. Tomorrow's podcast will be all DFS. So make sure we're you stay tuned to that, and then we'll get back into the normal run of things on Wednesday's show. The first game of the night was the Pelicans and the Nets. We'll start with the Pelicans. We talked about Tim Frazier already. Alexi Ajinsa played off the bench and played 29 minutes. You know I'm a massive Ajinsa fan. 16-6, a steal and four blocks. All he needs is minutes. And it's hard to rely when that's going to happen. One thing we can count on is Omer Asik is just, he is absolutely shitful. He played 4 minutes and did nothing. That's probably 4 minutes, 2 minutes, too many for me. Just started Ajinsa at center. Let him play. And well, they sort of went to that. So I'm okay with adding Ajinsa. Look, he could easily play 16 minutes in the next game because Alfred Gentry is making mistakes. He's experimenting with things. But we know what Asik is at this point, and he's terrible, and Ajinsa needs to work into some form. I really like the form of a few of their wings here, actually. James Ennis played 29 minutes, went 14-3-2. He had four steals, a block, and two triples. He has value. Not as much value as a guy like Jordan Hamilton, who had a 13-11 double-double, but that's a big performance from Ennis, and he is definitely someone to look at in a 14-team format. Lukey Babbitt started, and when he starts, he's someone you want to look at. 21 with three triples and four assists. He can score. He does it efficiently. He has a good field goal percentage. He hits threes. He won't do much in the defensive numbers, but four assists, a block, not too bad from Lukey Babbitt. Dante Cunningham will play minutes. He won't do much with them. 14-4 is okay, but I would much rather add Hamilton and Ennis and Babbitt and Ajinsa and Frazier all over Cunningham. Tone Douglas got the start. He struggled. 27 minutes for Douglas, 2-4-4 with a steal, but I do still think that he has viability in leagues. For the Nets, no Brook Lopez, no Thad Young. They are done for the season. Not hurt, just resting their bodies. And absolutely no problem with that at this point of the year. This is a shutdown. And you heard me rant about shutdowns a lot during the season. And one of my big things that I said is, you know, I don't think players ever get shut down for no reason, except in the last week or so of the season. And that's what we're going to see now. But you'll hear a lot of talk, this guy's a shutdown candidate in January and February. And that sort of stuff doesn't happen unless a guy's legit injured. But when we get to this point in the season, there's going to be plenty of guys that don't play. And this is why April is a terrible month for fantasy basketball. But with Lopez and with Thad Young out, interesting things to look at. Tom Robinson played 27 minutes. He went 11-15. Now, he didn't do anything else, and he is going to be a hurt for your field goal or for your free throw percentage. He went 3-9, but he's going to rebound the ball. He's going to score. He'll get some defensive numbers, some blocks, and some steals, but it's mainly about double-doubles and field goal percentage for Tom Rob. So have a look at him. Henry Sims got the start here. He at center, he played 30, went 12-7 with a steal, and Willie Reed only played the 18 minutes. Now, previously when Lopez had been out, Reed had started and put up numbers, but that was before Sims signed. So I don't hate Sims in a 14-team league. He showed in Philadelphia last season that while he's not a great NBA player, he can put up stats. He's a pretty efficient guy from both the field and the free throw line, and that can be important in a center. Wayne Ellington looks like he's going to be the starter now at shooting guard. He's not going to provide much. It was a decent game from him. 10 points, two triples, a steal and a block, but I don't love him. Well, Sean Kilpatrick is literally a points and threes guy. He had 15 with three triples in 26 minutes, but provides nothing else. Shane Larkin, only 6 points, but four rebounds, nine assists, two steals. That's where his value comes from. 3 of 12 from the field, not great, but he did take the most amount of shots on the team. So a couple of those convert, and you're looking at a pretty good line from Larkin. One of the best guys to add, in my opinion. And Sergei Karasev, back in the rotation, went 2-5-6. Can't really trust that at all, unfortunately, because he hadn't played the previous few games. I really think that he does have way more value than playing Wayne Ellington, and as does Markel Brown, but none of them are match winners. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, 19 minutes. 8 points, 1 3, 1 steal, 2 blocks. I don't think he's going to get anywhere near enough minutes to be a standard league relevant player. He's more a deeper league guy. As much as I do like him, he's just not going to contribute in fantasy leagues this season, I don't think. Don Sloan and Bojan Bogdanovic were both out of this one. Bogdanovic was resting, and Sloan was dealing with an upper respiratory tract infection. The Washington Wizards and the Los Angeles Clippers. Otto Porter hit four triples for 14 points, had eight rebounds and a steal. He's really come on this second half strong. Well, Marcin Gortat, okay, he played 29 minutes. He had 5 fouls, but get him out there a bit more. 21 and 7, because your other options at center are just terrible. Nene, he played the majority of center, but Nene, he's good at times, but Gortat needs to play more. It's as simple as that. Johnny Wall, 15, 2, and 13, three threes and a steal. The Wizards have basically got no chance of the playoffs now. And Markieff Morris, another game over 30 minutes. 36 minutes for Markieff, 18 and 8, two threes, three assists and a steal. If he's not owned in your league, you absolutely have to add him. Ramon Sessions had a decent 13, 5, and 6 game off the bench, and Nene went 10 and 9 in 19 minutes. Well, Brad Beal was terrible, actually. 2 of 16, 8 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals is nice. But that is an abomination from the field goal percentage category for Beal, who's had a real disappointing season this year, a lot of it injury-related. For the Clips, Chris Paul was back, 27, 3, and 12 with a 3 and a steal, but the biggest news is Blake Griffin returning. He played just 25 minutes, obviously he has to ease himself back into things. 6, 5, and 4, not a great performance from Griffin. He'll be better for the run, obviously, but I don't imagine him going back to 36 minutes or playing 36 minutes for many stretches down here, as maybe the last couple of games he might get back to that, but they're going to ease him in, especially considering that his quad legitimately hasn't healed yet, and that's an issue. He's going to be playing through pain. They're going to just want to ease him back and hopefully get him back in business. It might take a little bit of time, though. Jamal Crawford hit four triples, went 19, 4, and 6, but I literally do not trust him hitting four rebounds and getting six assists in many games moving forward. My ball, Cole Aldrich, 10 minutes. But 8 points, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, still gets it done in limited playing time. Well, JJ Redick had 18 points. DeAndre Jordan, 12 and 12, 2 steals, 3 blocks. Yep, that's what you want from him. 2 of 11 from the free throw line, you shouldn't care. And with Blake back, Jeff Green only played 15 minutes. Wes Johnson got 25. Paul Pierce was out, and Luke Marmute played 24. So any value in Jeff Green, he goes from a 14-team league guy to like an 18-team league guy. With Griffin returning, Marmute didn't have value there anyway, and Wes Johnson's just a defensive stats stream option. The Oklahoma City Thunder and the Houston Rockets are up next. Russ Westbrook almost got another triple-double, 23, 13, and 9, 2 steals, 1 triple, and Kev Durant went 33, 8, and 2 with a steal, a block, and 3 threes. And these guys have been tremendous this season. The rest of their team, not so much. A terrible loss here against Houston. Enes Kanter, a nice 16 and 6 game in 18 minutes. Steve Adams, this is what he does. 9 rebounds, 2 blocks, only 6 points. He's going to provide rebounds. He provides blocks. He's normally a better field goal percentage guy, and he's a bad free throw guy. That's what he's going to provide. He's no means a must-own guy. Serge Ibaka, terrible, 8-8 in 30 minutes. While the usual group of shit kickers at shooting guard really struggled. Andre Robertson, 4-3. Dion Waiters had 3 points in his 25 minutes. Randy Foy had 6 points, which is probably his best performance since arriving in Oklahoma City. 2 threes with a steal and a block for Foy as well. And none of those guys should be challenging anything near even a 14-team league. For the Rockets, Jim Harden, he is doing absolutely everything he can here. 41, 4-9, 5 triples, 3 steals and a block. And he would be powering so many fantasy teams towards victory. Dwight Howard, just... Who's going to pay this guy the max? Is someone going to pay him? He looks dreadful. Now, he had 5 fouls in 20 minutes. He is completely uninvolved. There is zero chance he comes back to Houston, I would say. He is completely uninvolved in the offense. Had 6 shots for 4 points, 8 rebounds, no blocks. He was looking good through a big chunk of the season. Now, he looks dreadful. It's really weird. Clint Capella, can't wait to see him in a full-time role. 23 minutes for Capella, 9-6, 2 steals and 4 blocks. Yeah, tremendous defensive numbers. Really not an ad guy. He's more of a, I need blocks and let's get some field goal percentage. That's about where he sits. Trevor Reza, 18, 7, and 3 with 3 triples. And Pat Beverly, a disappointing 12 points in his 26 minutes. Monty Yunus, 19 minutes, didn't do much. Mick Beasley, 9 minutes. That's a real kick in the ass for you people who would have added him and to get some points. That is not a good production from Beasley. Real hard to know what they're going to... Look, he played like 3 games in a row of about 27 to 30 minutes. Prior to that, he was like 18 minutes for 2 or 3 games, and now he's back to 9. there's no pattern in it. We don't know when that's going to happen, but he still remains a pretty decent chance to play 25 minutes on most nights and be able to score and grab some rebounds. Just wasn't Beasley's night. Andrew Gadlock got back into the rotation. He had 2 points and two steals in his 9 minutes. Interesting to see whether he can take more of Jason Terry's minutes moving forward, but his fantasy appeal is pretty limited. The Dallas Mavericks and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Justin Anderson only played 24 minutes, but a pretty big night from him. 9 points only, 10 boards though, a steal, a block, and hit all four of his shots. I do like Anderson. I think he's going to have some big performances down the stretch here. He can hit threes, he grabs rebounds, he gets steals, he gets blocks, he can be a decent shooter as well. I think he can have value. Now, he's not a must-own guy by any stretch, but in a 14-team league, I'd be grabbing him, and I'd really consider where I'm sitting in a 12-team league before I add him. He could work out, he might not, but he's got a great opportunity. Wes Matthews, 19 points, another 6 triples and a steal. He has really come on strong since Chandler Parsons left the lineup. He's getting more shots. He's hitting them at a better rate. He looked lost for majority of the season, but he is over the last 2 weeks a top 40 player. He's averaging 18 points with 4 triples, 1.3 steals, and he's hitting them at 44%, which considering he's hitting at just 39% for the season, a massive improvement. And it seems coincidental that Parsons is out because the shooting percentage is what's really driving it, but he's looked more engaged, he looks better, and maybe Dallas's investment in him hasn't been a complete waste. Maybe he can still turn around, but the Achilles is obviously a tough thing to come back from, especially when you're already 29 years old, as Wes Matthews is. Devin Harris, pretty decent game as well. 16 points, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 3 triples. A nice night from him, but he is not reliable. It was JJ Barea. I'm all in on JJ Barea. He should be owned in most spots. 21-3-6 with 3 threes. The center position, it is a mess. Salah Mejri got 19 minutes for 5 points and 2 blocks. Zaza Pachulia went 2-9 in 23 minutes, and Dwight Powell played just 4. There is no value in any of these guys. Same with David Lee, who went 6-6, and Ray Felton, off the bench, played 18 minutes and struggled. He had just 2 points with 3 rebounds and 3 assists, and I reckon they'll keep Anderson in the starting lineup ahead of Felton, so Felton's not going to be a guy who's really going to have standard league value. Onto the Timberwolves, Wigo had a pretty big night. 41 minutes for Andrew Wiggins, 34-2, 1-3, 2 steals, great percentages. This is what we can expect from him. I imagine that he will go in the top 50 of most leagues next year. Not sure that I'll be getting him on any of my teams, because I still do have concerns, but he's looked a lot better these last, say, 2 or 3 months. The last 2 months, he's a top 60 player. He's ranked just 91st for the season, but he's shown an ability to start hitting threes now, get some steals, improve his field goal percentage up to 48% over the last two months, and 80% from the free throw line. And he's giving you just a few more assists, 2.4 and 3.3 rebounds. He needs to get those numbers up, and I do think he can do it, but he's doing some of the other things that he wasn't, and it's really helping his fantasy game. Gorgui Dieng is on the way down. 23 minutes for Dieng, 8-3. He'll have some bigger games, but he's not that guy who's getting 40 minutes a night anymore. Is he a must-own? I still probably think he is, but definitely less than some of the other guys. Rick Rubio, 9 points in 34 minutes, but 5 assists, a steal, and a 3 was decent. Well, Zach LaVine is really struggling. He's no longer a must-own either. 11 with 2 points on 4, sorry, with 2 threes on 4 of 11 shooting for LaVine. The bench, not providing a massive amount. 4 points combined from Bielitsa, Muhammad, and Tyus Jones, while Adrian Payne chimed in with 4 of his own, and that's an anomaly. The Charlotte Hornets and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Kemba, big game from Kemba. No Kyrie, 29-6-7, 4 steals, 1 block, 1 3, huge night. Marvin Williams was also massive, 22-6-3 with 4 threes, a steal, and a block. He'd been terrible probably the last 2 weeks. Big bounce back in a really tough game. Cody Zeller, 29 minutes for Zeller, 8-6 with 5 steals. Completely out of the blue performance. I do really like Cody Zeller, as you've probably heard me talk about way too many times. Nick Batum, don't like saying this, knee strain. 20 minutes, 5 points, 5 assists. Let's hear some more information before we decide to make a drop of Batum. And Jefferson is questionable with a quad injury. Al Jefferson is owned in 84% of leagues. That feels ludicrously high. And I know that most leagues are finished and playoffs are started. He shouldn't have been owned since December. So I'm not sure why 84% of people were still holding on to him. Courtney Lee, 11-1-3 with 3 steals, a block, and a 3. not really my greatest choice for a 12-team league guy, but that's decent. And Jeremy Lin had 14 and 3 in 27 minutes. Frank Kaminsky had a triple one as well in his 24 minutes, getting a little bit of extra run with Batum out. For the Cavs, LeBron, massive for him. 31, 8 and 12, two steals on 14 of 22 shooting. And J.R. Smith got red hot, which he can do, but he just hasn't done it for big, big stretches. 27 points in 33 minutes. Six triples, five rebounds, three assists, and one steal. Do not anticipate this too often. Kevin Love was also massive without Kyrie. 25, 9, and 4 with five threes and a block. That's Minnesota Kevin Love. When Irving plays, don't expect it again, though. Dellavedova, 6 points, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, and 2 threes. Whenever Irving is out, you can count on him to get you some decent assists and some threes. Well, Iman Shumpert went 8, 2, and 3 in 32 minutes. Tristan Thompson only played 28 minutes, got 6 rebounds. He's still going to play more than Fry and Mozgov, but he's not a 36-minute guy, which he was for a stretch. 28 here. He's going to be limited to just being a rebound stream, while Channing Fry had 3 and 7 in his 15 minutes. Tim Mozgov, 2 points, 14 minutes. The Memphis Grizzlies and the Orlando Magic. Matty Barnes, who'd been struggling, bounced back with a pretty decent night, 24 and 5 with 5 threes and a block. No one's challenging him for minutes, we know that much, but he's going to be an up-and-down performer. The rest of this team, it's just a complete mess. Jordan Farmar started, played 14 minutes, and he'd been playing pretty well, I thought. They gave Xavier Munford 34 minutes instead. 10-2-1 with 2 steals and a 3 for Munford. If I own Farmar, I'm seeing who else is out there. If Shane Larkin's out there, I'm adding him, definitely. But I'm not going and adding Munford based on this. Tony Allen played just 14 minutes, 10-6. Jermichael Green went 11-10 with a block. Zach Randolph, 15-7-7. Lance Stephenson, I know I'm not owning him, 11-4-3. Just really a complete mess this team is. PJ Hairston and Brandon Wright are out indefinitely with their injuries. They may not return this regular season or even into the playoffs. Barnes is the guy you want. Randolph's the guy you want. Farmer is still a back-end guy. Vince Carter, Munford, Allen, Jermichael Green, they're all streaming options to me. Same as Lance, actually. For the Magic, they get a big victory here. Victor Oladipo, who was considered questionable to play, played 39 minutes. Of course, when you're struggling to play, why wouldn't you play 39 minutes? 22, 7, and 2 with 3 steals and a block. He's been massive down the stretch. And Nick Vucevic, still coming off the bench, but just tearing up opposition teams. 25 and 10, 2 steals, a block, great percentages. We forget how good that Vucevic can be. Evan Fournier, 22, 2, and 3 with 3 triples, a good night there. And Aaron Gordon, one of his best nights, a triple one with 14 points and 10 rebounds. You can't trust what Gordon's going to do, but this is a show of what he can do when he gets an opportunity or when things start hitting for him. Andrew Nicholson played 19 minutes, 10 points with 3 triples, 6 rebounds, an assist, and a steal. I think he's going to be someone you can look at for efficient scoring down the stretch in 12-team leagues on a game-by-game basis, because Skiles is going to give him 20 minutes. Ersan Ilyasova's out of the rotation because he keeps producing at the moment, Nicholson. Lord Alfred Payton, 7-2-11. Come to expect that from him, basically. Dwayne Dedman played 13 minutes in a start and had 8 points. And Mario Hezonja had 5 points with a couple of steals. We should see Hezonja's minutes increase somewhat down the stretch, but I'm definitely not holding my breath. Before we get into the next game, just going to pause for a second for a word from one of our sponsors. All right, the next game is the Utah Jazz and the Phoenix Suns. Rod Hood is on fire at the moment, 18-2-7. He had 6 triples, 2 steals, 2 blocks. A bit of a lean patch at the middle of March, but really on fire at the moment. And I think Rod Hood's going to be a special player in this league. Gordie Hayward, triple one with 22, 5 and 5. And Gobert had 12 and 5 with 2 steals and 2 blocks in his 24 minutes. The Jazz got a pretty comfortable victory. Derek Favors played. That's good news for Favors owners and good news for Jazz fans. 28 minutes for Favors, 17, 2 and 3 with 2 steals. While Shelvin Mack went 9, 7 and 5. Off the bench, it's really key to look at how good Trey Lyles is. 24 minutes, 13 points, 2 triples, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. Big performance. I can't stress enough how much I like this guy. The Phoenix Suns. Alex Len was terrible. He missed all 8 of his shots. 3 points and 6 rebounds. I do not know what is happening to him at the moment. It is such a pain in the ass because I am really high on what he can do. But maybe it's just the fact of the team, him playing out of position. That is dreadful from a center. Tyson Chandler was massive, 21 and 18 in 38 minutes with a steal. He should not be playing 38 minutes. It is ludicrous that he is playing 38 minutes at center. Please just develop Len as the center. play Chandler as 15 minutes as his backup. Just bullshit. But you can own Chandler. You can try and stream him in, get some field goal percentage, get some rebounds. Do not expect 21 points from him all that often, though. Mirza Teletovic is going to be a scoring and threes guy, 24 and 6 with three triples. While PJ Tucker is locked into good minutes on the wing, and I reckon you should be looking at owning him in most spots. 14, 9 and 2 with three threes. While Devin Booker, 14, 2 and 7, two threes, two steals, and a block. A big game from him. He's going to take a lot of offensive focus with Brandon Knight out, and I don't imagine we see Knight again this season. That's just a hunch. I haven't heard anything, but I don't imagine we see him. Booker's going to, he only shot 5 of 15 here, but he's going to get a few more assists. He's going to be good, but he's going to cop a bit of a hit in field goals. Now, Ron Price started with a night out, played 32 minutes and went 2, 2 and 3. You don't want Ron Price for your steals. You want him to get some assists. Sorry, you don't want him for your scoring. You want him for steals. You want him for assists. Didn't provide the steals today, but did give us 3 assists. Stick with him just as that 14 team league point guard, or look, I'm at desperation stake, but he will start for a few more games, I would imagine. The bench, not much to really love with any of those guys. The Chicago Bulls and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bulls get a victory. Jim Butler went 10 of 11 from the field. That's a huge boost to your field goal percentage at this point in the year. 25, 5 and 8 for Jim. A triple one. A big game. While Pau Gasol went 16, 8 and 8 with a 3, a steal and 2 blocks. So they're two big performances. Nick Mirotic, after an absolute stinker, he played 35 minutes. And shockingly enough, when he plays minutes, he performs 19, 6 and 3 with 3 threes. Good enough to continue to hold on to him, I think, in most spots. No Derrick Rose, no Taj Gibson, and Gibson's going to be out for at least the next couple of games. Most likely out for the rest of the season, I would guess, with Gibson. Etuan Moore started in place of Derrick Rose, 6, 2 and 3 with 3 steals. But he was more valuable when he was starting in place of Jim Butler. With Rose out, Butler's just basically doing everything. So, yeah, you like his ability to hit some threes, you like his ability to get some steals, but it's pretty deep league stuff. Mike Dunleavy had 9 points in 18 minutes. Bob Porter started and had 4 points in 13 minutes. And Dougie McDermott can't get 20 minutes at the moment either. He had 7 in his 17 minutes. On to the Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 34, 5 and 9. A triple one. Massive from the field. 14 of 22 as well. That's a huge performance. While Jabari Parker went 24 and 11 with 3 assists and a steal. Giannis actually hit a 3 as well on one attempt. So that's a start. No Jared Bayless, and there's a pretty decent chance we don't see him again this season. While Chris Middleton was out of this one with a thigh strain. So the Bucks had to start Damian Inglis. He played 9 minutes. Why start him and play him 9 minutes? I never understand. Rashard Vaughn got the start in place of Bayless. He played 29 minutes, and he was all right. 7, 4, and 2, a 3 and 2 blocks. Really just a deep league guy. But Tyler Ennis is intriguing. 31 minutes for Ennis, 7, 4, and 8 with 2 steals. He's coming along pretty decently at the moment, I think anyway. Starting to put together some okay sort of performances. Nothing spectacular. But if you need some assists, you need some steals, Ennis could be the guy that gives it to you. John O'Brien, Job, had 4 and 5 in his 21 minutes. Really haven't spoken about Job much this season. While Greggy Monroe, just 11 and 5 in 23 minutes. Also, John Henson, completely Jason Kidded. 9 minutes, 0 points. Kid hates Henson, don't know why, and it manifested here. It just happens to him sometimes. General Grievous Vasquez, 6 minutes for 0 points. The Indiana Pacers and the New York Knicks. Paulie George, 20 and 9, a steal, a block, 2 triples, 29 minutes. Just whatever, it's a subpar sort of performance. It's okay, it's not great. Jan Mahimi, 10, 8 and 4 with a block. You know I'm a fan of Mahimi. Yeah, Monte Ellis, George Hill, all under 30 minutes. Hill went 10 and 6. Ellis went 7 and 6. Hill's not a must-own guy to me anymore. Miles Turner off the bench played 31 minutes, 12 and 6 with a steal and a block. Hopefully you held on to him through the benching because he has actually looked a lot better coming off the bench. And Lavoie Allen, in my favorite role, the starter who plays no minutes. 15 minutes for Allen, 0 points with 4 rebounds. CJ Miles couldn't replicate his big night, 10 points with a couple of threes, and Rod Starkey putting together some nice scoring nights, 17 in 20 minutes, but it's not enough to really consider him outside of, say, your 16-team leagues. For the Knicks, their highest leading scorer was Sasha Vujacic, of course it was. He had 32 minutes for 21 points with 5 triples, 3 assists, and 2 steals. That's a really good line from Vujacic. Now, there was no Jose Calderon, there was no Carmelo Anthony, there was no... So someone had to step up. So I'm not that against him playing big minutes, but obviously it's not an ideal situation. Robin Lopez, 10 and 15 with 6 blocks. Huge night from Lopez in 35 minutes, while Aaron Aflalo went 15 and 8 with a steal and a block. Do you add Vujacic? I'm definitely not keen on it. Langston Galloway played 31 minutes. 9-2-6 with 3 steals, and definitely happier with adding Galloway over Vujicic. Kevin Seraphin, 6-8 in 23 minutes. 16 team leagues, you've got to be looking at Seraphin. I do think he's going to be a guy able to produce. I wouldn't be shocked if he started to take minutes off Derek Williams. Now, Williams played 28 minutes here, 12-6 with a 3. He is going to knock on the door of 12 team league value while Porzingis is out. Well, Jerian Grant only got the 26 minutes, replacing Calderon. He had 6-3 with a 3 and a steal and 2 assists. I do think that Grant is someone that he's a 14 team league guy for sure, and has some value in 12s. Anthony Early got a surprise start with Mallow out, missed all 6 of his shots and had 2 points. Really want to see them start to work him in and get something out of him, because I do think he can be a decent player. The Trailblazers and the Warriors. Dame Lillard was massive, 38, 3 and 4, 4 triples, big percentages, great night from him. While Al-Farouq Aminu played 36 minutes, couldn't quite get the same night that he had the other day, 10, 6 and 5, 2 steals and 2 threes, so still pretty productive. Mace Plumlee only played 19 minutes. I hate that. 8-4-6 with a steal and a block, so he was still good. I still think you want to own him in most spots. And Ed Davis, the defensive stream specialist, 6 points, but 9 boards, 3 blocks, and went 50% from the field. That's exactly where Ed Davis's value comes from, and there's barely a better guy out there than him. CJ McCollum, 18 points, 2 triples, 3 steals, and 2 assists. A good night. And Mo Harkless, another 30 minutes, a double-double, a steal, and a 3. He's a definite 12-team league guy to me. The bench, Alan Crabb, he plays minutes, he does nothing with him. Gerald Henderson, 10 points in his 24 minutes, not worth looking at. And obviously Noah Vonleh is terrible. The Warriors, Draymond, another triple-double. 22, 10, and 10. 2 steals, 3 blocks. Big numbers. Klay Thompson, 21 points, 2 triples, 3 assists, and 2 blocks. Big numbers. Harry Barnes, not so big. 10 and 5 with 2 threes in 33 minutes. That's why he's just not a great... He's been a good DFS play, but he's a borderline 12-team league guy. Probably not even a 12-team league guy. No Andy Bogut, but Festus Ezeli was back. He played 9 minutes, but the fact that he's back is more important. 2 and 3, he's not a fantasy guy that you want to add at this point, but it's good to have him back. And as per usual, the Warriors bench not providing much. Brandon Rush, Leonard Bosa, McAdoo, Livingston, Spates, nothing there outside of, say, your 20-team formats, really. The last game of the night, the Boston Celtics and the Los Angeles Lakers. Jay Crowder was back, 22, 5, and 4, 5 steals and 2 triples, just picking up where he left off. Isaiah Thomas went 26, 2, and 6, and Amir Johnson had 10, 13, and 4 in his 26 minutes. It's really hard to predict what Johnson's going to do because of that issue with Brad Stevens and the front court, as I talked about earlier. But he's been... consistent's probably the wrong word, but putting up decent numbers more often than not. Marcus Smart, 7, 5, and 6. Well, Evan Turner remains starting with Avery Bradley out, 17, 4, and 4. And I'm still holding Turner, even though he'll go back to a bench role when Bradley returns from his personal issue. Kelly Olynyk, 4 points in 13 minutes. Disappointing. Well, Terry Rozier got 21 and had 6, 7, and 3. So he's looked okay, Rozier. So it looks like he's got somewhat of a future. Kobe, 28 shots. He did have 34 points, but only hit 11 of those shots. 4-1, 4 triples and 3 steals. So a great line from Kobe. You obviously need to be punting field goal percentage to want to deal with Kobe. And he is going to play most of these games or all of these games down the stretch. So he can be owned, but this is probably the best game of his, well, the last good game of his career maybe. Julius Randle, 20 and 10 in 30 minutes. Brandon Bass and Lou Williams did not play in this game, and they're probably not going to play again this season. So Randle should be able to get 30 plus on most nights. Jordy Clarkson, 17, 5, and 1 with 2 threes and 3 steals. Now, with Williams out of the rotation, Clarkson and Russell, we're going to get 35 plus most nights. Russell, D'Angelo Russell, 8, 9, and 6. Not his best night, but still some decent numbers there. Well, Marcelo Huertas is a great assist stream. He had 5 assists in his 24 minutes. And don't look now, but Roy Hibbert is playing minutes again. He had 29 here. He had 4, 5, and 4 with 3 blocks. Now, that's not great, but he's a big man who hits his free throws. He can get you block shots as well. So he remains a pretty decent shot blocking option. Tariq Black got 19 minutes, and I'm completely behind that. And Larry Nance had 5, 6, and 2. But those guys are obviously really, really deep guys for deep leagues, obviously. All right, that's it for today's podcast, guys. Short one, because we don't have to preview tomorrow's games. Tomorrow's podcast will be the same. We won't be reviewing games, we'll be just previewing games. Don't forget, if you if you do listen to this podcast on iTunes, go and leave a review. If you won your league, leave that in the review as well. Say, you know what? I won my league. Congratulations. Not congratulations. I'll say congratulations to you. If you've got 5 minutes, leave a review. It costs you nothing apart from about 2 minutes of your time, and it helps this podcast grow immensely. So I would love to see you guys who are listening to just smash iTunes and give them a big chunk of reviews and get the podcast right up in the charts, which helps attract sponsors. It helps when you guys visit the sponsors, and it helps keep this podcast going, hopefully from strength to strength. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. I will be in contact with all you guys who have won the listener leagues just to see if you want to come on the podcast for a chat. Follow Basketball Monster at Bask Monster. And remember, we'll be doing podcasts all the way through the first two rounds of the playoffs for DFS as well. And then we get into a whole bunch of other fun stuff throughout the off season. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.